Everyone needs a pastor. A visit to the Pastor's Study brings biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you and pastoral ministry from those with proven experience in Christian service. Our time together will be lively, sometimes controversial, always useful, and never dull. Welcome to the study of Pastor Bill Shishko.
And this is Pastor Bill Shishko here with you. It's great to have you with us for another visit to the Pastor's Study. Imagine with me that we've come to the last day of this world's history. Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and the one appointed as judge of all humanity, has returned in glory, majesty, and honor. And all those who have lived and died over the thousands of years of human history have been raised from the dead, reconstituted by the sovereign power of God, and reunited with their souls. They join those who were alive on the unexpected day of Christ's return, and they are all before the judgment seat of Christ to receive their eternal reward or their eternal penalty. Jesus separates the sheep from the goats, the sheep, those who were chosen, called, and saved by sheer divine grace, and the goats, well, those who were passed over in the divine economy of redemption. But the universe, including the created beings known as angels, demand, as it were, evidences that mark the differences between the sheep and the goats. Salvation by grace was ordained to bring forth the fruits and the demonstration of good works. These justify our faith, our true religion, before all. And what that grand demonstration of God's grace in the lives of His people looks like is utterly and astoundingly and eternally memorably striking. The evidence of true saving faith comes down to two things. What did people do with Jesus Christ? And how is that demonstrated? The great judge who has the final word in human affairs speaks first to the sheep, His true people. Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed Me. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me. Those addressed are stunned at how their lives that had been blessed with God's saving work come down to these few things. But how did they do these things for Jesus Christ? They ask, Lord, when did we see You hungry and feed You? When did we see You thirsty and give You drink? When did we see You a stranger and welcome You? When did we see You naked and clothe You? And when did we see You sick or in prison and visit You? And the profound answer from King Jesus is simply, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, My brothers and sisters, you did it to Me. You see, Jesus and His bride, the church, are truly one. And the day of judgment is a grand declaration that true love for Jesus was shown by true love for His bride, His people, His church. Now, tragically, the opposite is also true. Those whose lives were not caught up in demonstrations of practical love to Christ and His people showed conclusively that they had no part in God's saving work in history. Their punishment is eternal, even as the blessing of God's true people is eternal. Well, I urge you to read the whole very dramatic account in the 25th chapter of the Bible's Gospel of Matthew. It's among Christ's probing final words near to the time of His trial, His sentencing, His execution, and His death. And it's designed to make us ask if our faith is truly centered on Christ and truly demonstrated by lives of love to Christ and to His people. I was in prison, and you visited Me. As you came to and visited one of the least of these, My brothers and My sisters, in prison, you did it to Me. Now, we must not understand this as many modern commentators on the Bible do. Jesus is not saying here that we demonstrate our faith in Christ by a general love and by works of compassion for all people. Other texts of the Bible teach that quite clearly, but not this one. In this section of the Word of God, Jesus is speaking specifically of showing love to Christ by practical expressions of love to his people. And nothing less is satisfactory evidence that we are truly Christians. And those practical expressions of love specifically include going to and ministering to professed Christians who are incarcerated, who are in prison, for whatever reason. You can read many accounts of how Christians in the early church cared for their brothers and sisters who had been imprisoned, usually for reasons connected with their commitment to Christ as their Lord. They brought them food and clothing. In many cases, they paid from their own funds so that their brothers and sisters in Christ could be released. Some even sold themselves into slavery to raise the price for the release of their brothers and sisters in Christ. That genuine self-giving love for those regarded as social outcasts was a powerful testimony to the pagan world. And while it began with ministry to other Christians, it also reached others in prison who were poor, needy, and in many, many cases, unjustly imprisoned. Jesus did come to proclaim liberty to captives, beginning with gracious liberation from the guilt and the power of sin. And throughout history, Christians have taken seriously the many leveled admonitions from the Bible book of Hebrews. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them. It's hard to imagine that today in America there are over 2.3 million people who are incarcerated. From 1975 to 2005, over a 30-year period, the number of those imprisoned in the United States quadrupled. Today, the American prison system has been called the prison industrial complex, the world behind the barbed wire and stark walls and barred windows is notoriously full of mistreatment, oppression, sexual perversion, and dehumanization. The violent often become more violent, and little is done to prepare those who have been removed from society, often for decades, to return to society prepared for a new life in a strange new world. Those who have been incarcerated have, as it were, scarlet letters on their heads. They are branded with labels viewed as stereotypes and often marginalized by society, an American version of the lepers of other nations and of other cultures. And so it's understandable that their recidivism rate, the rate at which former criminals return to a life of crime, is notoriously high, and the cycle begins again. I was in prison, and you visited me. Professed Christians are not immune to criminal actions that cause them to land in prison. In some cases, people faced with their guilt and the consequences of their misconduct as it affected others have serious dealings with God and Christ during their incarceration. They become genuine Christians during their imprisonment. And Jesus really indwells these by the Holy Spirit. They're to be visited, they're to be ministered to, as if ministering to Christ, but ministered to by other Christians. And that inevitably brings those ministering Christians into contact with a whole community of people who are faced every day with the painful fruits of their bad conduct, and whose only hope for real reformation, reformation that begins with a new heart that comes from God Himself, is in the good news of the liberating Jesus Christ. Well, if you haven't guessed it, our topic for today's visit to the pastor's study is I Was in Prison and a Look Inside Prison Ministry. And my guest today is Pastor Brett Malin, a trained and ordained minister whose call is to minister to those in prison. He's an associate pastor of Covenant Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Orland Park, Illinois. And he'll not only tell us what prison life and ministry to those in prison is really like, but he'll also give us practical advice for prison ministry that connects prisoners with the life of the local church. And that's really, really important. Now, remember, this program invites and encourages you to visit us by calling in with your questions Our live call-in number, please write it down. Live call-in number 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400 to call in with your questions. And you can also text your questions at the special number 516-367-0391. Text questions only, 516-367-0391. And you can text questions anytime you want during the week. Just put that under Pastor Bill. Text questions 516-367-0391. But for now, minister to those in prisons. Pastor Brett Nalen. Hey, welcome to A Visit to the Pastor Study.
Thank you, Pastor Bill.
Hey, Pastor Brett, how did you get involved in prison ministry and prison ministry full time?
Well, thank you for that question. I have to confess, I did not go searching for this. It was not something that the Lord had particularly laid on my heart when I was in seminary. I would say that prison ministry came looking for me and found me, and I see God's providence in that. So my story is, I'll seek to be brief, my story is that I was finished with seminary, and I went to do an internship in a church, Covenant Orthodox Presbyterian Church, which you just mentioned. And in my time there, there for a year and a half, I was able to participate in their prison ministry. And they have had a prison ministry for many, many years. And so I was there for a year and a half, and I was able to go in and be a part of the prison ministry. That was part of my pastoral internship. And then I went elsewhere, and I was a pastor elsewhere for 6 years. And it just so happened that in the time that I was gone from Covenant OPC in Orleans Park, a number of things happened. The prison ministry continued to grow and continued to thrive, and we also had two lay people who were very strong on prison ministry. They had actually started it. And one passed away and one retired and moved away. And the session, the elders of our of Covenant OPC just realized that they need someone to do this full time because of all of the needs of the men in the prison. So they had me in their memory, their recent memory. So I was very blessed to be called back to a congregation that my family really loved and adored, and able to come to a great place to do evangelism and pastoral ministry and counseling and teaching and preaching and all of the rest. So
all behind bars, behind the walls, right?
Yes.
So, Pastor Brett, you drive up to this rather imposing, if not even scary, place called a prison. You go through the humbling security procedures to even get in the place, where sometimes, at least in my experience, you feel like a criminal yourself. And you get in there. What's the experience of being, not so much the ministry yet, but what's the experience like of just being in the prison?
Sure. So, like you said, I go up to it, I drive up to it, and it's an old building. It's almost 100 years old. I think we're at 93, 94 years old. And it shows its age. You can tell it's quite old. So I go in to a visitor's center, and I have a badge because I'm a permanent volunteer, and I go in. It has my picture on it, and then I bring in certain materials. I'm limited in what I can bring in. I do get patted down, and I go through four gates. Each one has security procedures. They look through my books, excuse me, they look through my Bible, anything that I bring in, just to make sure that I'm not bringing any contraband in, and they also check if I'm going out to make sure that I'm not bringing anything out. And so I go in, and you do see some people working. You know, one man will be painting a wall, and they do have inmates who are working and that sort of thing. lots of correctional officers everywhere. And then when you go to the cells, I would say that the cells do look somewhat like you see in a movie, somewhat stereotypical, where the paint is chipped off the bars or worn out over the years and that sort of thing. And it really just looks like an old building. They do keep it clean.
So Pastor Brett, I mentioned this in the monologue. I read about the pain and the suffering and the exploitation and the injustice, the violence, and the perversion behind the prison walls. Is that exaggerated?
Yes and no. If you had asked me that 20 years ago, and if I had been pastoring here in the prison 20 years ago, I don't think it would have been exaggerated. The place, the particular place where I'm ministering, the particular correctional center, had a reputation of being very harsh 20, 25 years ago. Lots of horrible things going on, and you can only imagine the sorts of things going on. Whether you wondered whether the inmates run the place or whether the officers do. It has since changed, and it is relatively safe, safer than it once was. The particular prison took security precautions for their correctional officers, also for the inmates. And so it is much safer, but I would say, I mean, nowhere is safe ultimately, and there have been times when the prison has gone into lockdown, which that means everybody goes to their cells and nobody is out.
Has that actually happened when you've been there in the prison where they've gone into lockdown?
Yes, I have been there and they've gone into lockdown and I just need to head for the door. And I don't know usually at the time what the reason is. Oftentimes I'll find out later, but if there's a fight on the yard, any sort of violence or threat, anything like that, basically thousands of men are punished and placed in their particular cells.
So are you – now, is this a maximum security prison that you're in or an intermediate facility? What level of security is this prison in which you work?
It is maximum security.
Okay, and is this just one prison in which you work, Pastor Brett, or do you work with a number of prisons?
Just one. The one that is it's about a half hour from our house and from the church. I would say our plan was when I came here to minister to about three or four prisons because we have had members of our church who were at the particular correctional center who were then brought to other places within the state. And my hope was to go and minister to them in their particular places and their particular prisons. However, when I arrived, I was sad to find out that because of the two programs that I have at my particular correctional center, I'm not allowed to go to the other ones and visit those inmate members. Just they want to crack down on any sorts of conspiring or collusion or anything like that.
Now, is this connected with your commitment to Christ as a Christian minister? Which I hope is not the case, or is this just more for general security procedures?
That's actually rules are set by the correctional institutions throughout the state.
Okay, so it's not specifically addressed at you as a Christian minister.
But I see what you're. Your question.
Right.
No, it's not.
Okay. And so, because I'm thinking for down the line as we discuss this, people who are going to be involved in prison ministry really need to be aware that there can be a variety of regulations in different places, and obviously they must abide by these, correct?
Yes, you certainly have to. You can you can make many mistakes accidentally. The old adage, no good deed goes un. You can seek to do good and then find out later that you've transgressed some law or some rule. For example, there I know of someone who was a minister who was helping out in a prison, and there came the time for the release date of one of the inmates. And so what would you do if you had been pastoring for someone for many years, and then you know that person's going to come out? Well, you think, well, maybe that person needs a ride. You offer a ride, and then his prison ministry was closed down as a result of that.
Oh,
now, you wouldn't think that you'd have that sort of rule, but they're making sure that there's not some sort of conspiring or working together undermine anything.
Oh, my. Yeah, you certainly do. We learn lessons of the law, even the more are the law of God, and how it convicts us at every point. It seems it can't do anything without breaking. This is fascinating, Pastor Brett. We're talking today with Pastor Brett Nalen, whose entire ministry is given to prison ministry, to ministry to those in prison, and really ministry to Christ in dealing with Christians in prison and with others. I'm sure you've got questions. You're welcome to call in 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400, and that will get you right to the studio. Or you can text Pastor Bill with your texted questions, 516-367-0391, 516-367-0391. And we'll be back with prison minister Pastor Brett Nalen after this message from the voice of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
That great city, New York. Metropolitan New York is the largest city in the United States. And with a population of over 20 million people, Metro New York is one of the largest cities in the world. And what's more, Metro New York is home to people from every nation of the world. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. But churches faithful to historic Reformation Christianity in the Metro New York area are few and far between. The mission fields of Metro New York are America's richest and most neglected. Reformation Metro New York is an agency by which the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is planting and developing biblically faithful churches and church ministries in the Metro New York area. Through Reformation Metro New York, you can help promote the outreach of this program, A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and other projects designed to further the ongoing reformation of the church. That and church planting are the great passions of Reformation Metro New York. For more information, check out the website at reformationmetrony.org, where you'll get a personal look at the ministries of the churches, pastors, evangelists, and teachers of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in the area, and you'll learn how you can be a part of our labors. We need your help. Here's the site again, reformationmetrony.org. Thanks for your interest and your help. Remember that great city, New York. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. Now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you. My guest today, Pastor Brett Nalen, involved in prison ministries in the Chicago area of our nation. If you'd like to call in with your questions, 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400, or text your questions at 516-367-0391, 516-367-0391. Pastor Brett, what do you actually do in your prison ministry?
Thank you. Well, I often tell people that I wear multiple hats, and I would say that they're hats that we get into ministry to do, the things we do, the reasons we go to seminary. So I get to be simultaneously and at different times pastor and professor and counselor, evangelist and an apologist or defender of the faith, and maybe a missionary in a sense as well. So just to lay out how things go, we have worship services. We have about 25 men who come at that time for worship. And our worship is very simple. It seems to me similar to Paul and Silas in prison in the book of Acts, where we sing hymns. I read the Bible. I preach. I'm able to bring the sacraments. I am able to serve the Lord's Supper. And so that's what we do as far as worship and the pastoral ministry, how that looks. We do worship, I would say, straight from the hymnal and singing from the hymnal that many of us are familiar with in the OPC, in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And it's so rich to listen to the men, sometimes off key, but it doesn't matter. They are singing to the Lord, the one who has redeemed them and has set them free. Then I'm also professor, one of the professors at Divine Hope Reformed Bible Seminary, and that is a seminary which teaches inmates in the Indiana and Illinois areas, and they have a whole degree program, and they teach a whole, really the whole gamut of theology between, they did teach languages for a time, but systematic theology and practical and counseling and that sort of thing. So I teach a couple of days a week. I'm teaching with that seminary. Then I also do evangelism counseling, and I do that from cell to cell. I do have the freedom to do that. So imagine five floors with 30 cells on each floor. And so I can just start at one end and walk from one end to the other and seek to engage men, and I'll talk to them about the gospel. Some of them are good, strong Bible readers, and some of them are not, and some of them are into different other theological belief systems, different cults, other religions, and that sort of thing. So I have many good discussions with them, and obviously there are those who are skeptical of the Reformed faith or of biblical Christianity. So oftentimes I'll engage with them and that.
Now, how do you initiate that, Pastor Brett? You're going from cell to cell. How do you actually start that conversation?
I will bring with me Reformed literature and Reformed devotionals. There's actually a particular Reformed monthly devotional that comes to the prison. I send in a whole box of them into the prison, and then they are there waiting for me in the chaplain's office. So I'll just ask them, would you like something to read? And oftentimes they do. Sometimes they say, no, thank you. Sometimes the conversation is as brief as no, thank you, and sometimes it's yes, thanks, just leave it there. And sometimes I'll have an hour-long conversation or even far more than an hour with someone.
Yeah, so your work really, I guess rather obviously, you're building up a relationship with people. You're becoming a friend to those who are in prison, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially with those who attend my worship services and those who attend my classes. And there are many who attend both worship service and the classes. And then I have plenty of opportunities to talk to them. So yes, with them especially, but I'm seeking to minister to the whole prison.
Right. So how, Pastor Brett, is your work different or maybe like the work of groups like Prison Fellowship?
Thank you. Well, Prison Fellowship, certainly grateful for the ministry that they do. I don't have any interactions with them at my particular prison. However, you know, I've read Born Again by Colson. I've been familiar with somewhat distantly from Prison Fellowship. The difference is this. It's really the difference between church and parachurch. So the Prison Fellowship, they teach classes in the prison. They help people to lower the recidivism rate. They minister to family. They do those sorts of things. And we certainly can appreciate many of the things done by a parachurch organization like Prison Fellowship. However, Christ has given to the church the preaching of the Word of God and the sacraments. And so the difference is that I'm bringing not just the Word of God, but the opportunity to, say, bring the Lord's Supper in.
Yeah, okay. So you're obviously a local church is very involved. So how does the local church in which you're an associate pastor get involved in this work? Obviously, they send you there, but are there other ways that your local church and others get involved in this work?
Yes, it is definitely a local church ministry. I don't think of this as just the Brett Malin ministry. I think of this as Covenant OPC's ministry, and then I just, by the grace of God, get to be the one who leads it and gets to do a lot of the nitty-gritty of that. So the way that this church, Covenant OPC, has ministered to the prisons for about 15 or so years is that we seek to treat those in the prison, especially those who take membership vows with us, insofar as we're able, as regular members. So they are on our membership list. Anything that we would give or do for someone else, we would seek to do that for them. So the pictures of the inmates happen to be in our membership, along with all the other families and their pictures, their family photos, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so they're not treated as second class citizens. They're treated as, I guess the analogy I would use, it's a little bit like people who are in the military. They can't be there on a Lord's Day, but they're still members of the church. Is that kind of a good analogy?
That's right. Or you could use the analogy of shut-ins or those who are just not able to come. So they're not able to come to, say, a congregational meeting and that sort of. We try to bring as much of the church as we can to them. And I might add, our session, that is our elders, they seek to come in as often as they are able. There are restrictions there. I did just bring our deacons in, and that was a great experience. That was the first time I've been able to bring the deacons in. And I might also add, we send Christmas cards and different holiday cards, seek to acknowledge their birthdays and send cards that way. And then some families have actually adopted one or two of the inmates themselves, and they just focus upon that person, pray for that person each day. The young people, the children in the family, are used to praying for inmates so-and-so, and then they often will write cards. Also, children drawing pictures and sending those in to the inmates, that really can touch the heart of those who often feel forgotten, often feel neglected, and oftentimes tears will flow when you find that a child has drawn something or colored a picture for you.
Fascinating. This is an entrance into a world with which very, very few of us are familiar, the world behind the prison walls. And my guest is a man set apart from ministry to those in prisons, Pastor Brett Malin. And particularly today, we're dealing with the involvement of the local church of whatever name with working with prisoners. But just we'll be back in a moment considering this, but I just want to remind you that this program is brought to you by a group of churches that are called a presbytery in our circles, a group of Orthodox Presbyterian churches in the Southern Connecticut and metropolitan New York area. Those congregations are Harvest Orthodox Presbyterian Church in East Haddam, Connecticut, Westminster Church in Hamden, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Mount Vernon, New York, Reformation Presbyterian Church in Fresh Meadows, Queens, and then the Orthodox Presbyterian churches in Franklin Square and Bohemia, and Trinity Church in Syosset. Those are all the churches that help provide the funds so that we can do this. And also we are grateful for Redeemer Broadcasting Network, in which this program is simulcast. We have rather extensive archives of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and some of which would bear on the program today. The program Joy for the World, an interview with Greg Forster about the way in which the life of God's people is meant to reach out to and demonstrate the joy of Christ to the world, including prisons. Showing Christ in Relief Work, Pastor Brett mentioned deacons and their work of relief work, and there's a whole program that we have on showing Christ in relief work around the world with a lot of practical helps for you, and then hospitality, God's and ours, because this is really what we're dealing with, an extension of hospitality to those who are in prison, as our Lord called us to do. If you'd like to access those, you can get them at the archives. Visit thepastorsstudy.org. You can Google that in, visitthepastorsstudy.org. That's all one word. Or visit the Pastor's Study. We'll get you there. And then, or you can also access the programs at our site on sermonaudio.com. That's all one word, sermonaudio.com. A rich, rich source of preaching and teaching and broadcast for you. Just look for a visit to the Pastor's Study area of sermonaudio.com. Please like us on Facebook at our Visit to the Pastor's Study site. And, of course, we always value your questions and your comments. You can text those in at any time, 516-367-0391, 516-367-0391 for your text questions. And if you'd like to call in the program today dealing with prison ministry, 631-955-5400. Pastor Brett, let's tie up this before we get into helping prepare ministers or preparing prisoners for life outside. How do you receive prisoners who come to faith in Christ in the prisons? How do you receive them into local church membership? Tell us a little bit about that process.
Absolutely. Well, we seek to duplicate what we would do in the local church, as I said before. So in a local church, obviously that means it's different for every church, but usually there's some sort of an inquirer's class or a membership class or sort of thing where you teach some of the basics of the faith and walk them through the membership questions, the membership vows. And so that is what we seek to do there in the prison. So I have a few men, actually, that I'm walking them through the the membership vows. And obviously, it takes a little bit more time to do it because of the restrictions. It's not like you can have just one every single week, like in the local church. But I'm working my way through those questions with a couple of men, and our hope is that we would have them profess their faith and answer the membership vows in one of our worship services, and we would seek to do that with our elders present.
Yeah, in this case, you're bringing the worship service to the prisoners. Obviously, yep. They're not going to let them out of prison to come to profess their faith in a gathering at the local church, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
So you have your elders involved. And Pastor Brett, you mentioned before working with a chaplain. Many people may not be aware. I would gather it's kind of standard that there are chaplains in the prisons, correct? I mean, probably staff chaplains.
Yes, there are staff chaplains. There are a couple there at the particular prison. They do ministry, but a large amount of what they do is administrative. Because they have, they run all of the programs, anything educational, anything having to do with any of the religions who have a presence there, they're doing the administrative work for that. So there are presently we have just two who are employed by the state and by the correctional center.
So if people are wanting to initiate this, and they should obviously do this under the guidance of the governing body of their local church, you would begin with the chaplain of the particular correctional institution, right?
That is where you'd want to begin. Yes, you'd start off contact the chaplain, and what you want to do is just ask if you can have a Bible study. Start off simple, something like once a month, something like that. And they probably have other churches and other ministries already in there, but they may be looking for more. There's always need. There's a lot of work to do
sure.
in the prison.
Now, Pastor Brett, what about let's look at sort of the end of the it's not really the end, but as far as the prison goes, what about preparing prisoners for life outside after they're released on parole? Do you have programs for that, or things that you do or encourage, or is what the prison's doing satisfactory? Talk to us about that.
Certainly. Well, I must admit that our particular church, Covenant OPC, has 9 members throughout the Illinois area and in different prisons. We have not had any who have been released because it's a maximum security, and many of them have been convicted of heavy and serious crimes. However, I do have some who may get out, and so we don't have a particular program. However, what we do have is just the regular Word of God and the counseling of the pastor. So I am seeking to be in there and talking them through these things. And, you know, some when they talk about getting out and they're hopeful that they will get out, you know, I seek to explain how the world has changed because some of them have been in there for decades. And things that we take for granted, things technological and other things, they've only heard of these things or seen them on TV. Many of them have never done an internet search, never listened to a podcast. Things are in a sense almost behind the times, technologically. And many of them are a few decades behind because of where they were when they went in.
Yeah, I think I want to explore that a little bit more. Questions are coming in, Pastor Brett. This is one that was texted, and again, the text number, if you'd like to call in with your question, is 516-367-0391. Have you had a prisoner who became an attending member, obviously I would assume that they're released, and then what has been the response of the congregation when a prisoner actually joins and attends the church? And I guess we could add to it, how do the people respond when there's an announcement to the congregation that the elders have approved the membership examination of Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so, but they're presently incarcerated at such and such prison? What kinds of responses do you get from the congregation?
Very good. I'll seek to answer the first question first. We have not. We've not had anyone released. So we will wait for that. We'll wait to see. I would say, though, that the whole entire church, as far as I can tell, Covenant OPC, is behind the prison ministry. So when they hear updates, they listen very carefully. They're very interested in this. And the senior pastor with whom I work, he actually has asked me to take the pastoral prayer usually on the third Sunday of the month, and particularly to pray for prison issues and also for updating the congregation. And so whenever I give that, about once a month, people tell me, oh, it's so encouraging to hear what God is doing in there.
Yeah. Yeah, so essentially what you're saying is this prison ministry needs to be seen as best as we can as really an extension of the organic life of the church, and you do the best you can given the situation, correct?
That's right, yeah, and I think that's what Hebrews 13:3 is calling us to do.
Yeah, okay, remembering those who are in prison is bound with them, excellent. And I think the analogy, too, of dealing when we're dealing with shut-ins who can't be at worship or military people who are away, at least in terms of involvement in church life, is apt. Thinking down the line, because phone call, if you'd like to call in with your call, 631-955-5400. Incidentally, if you're thinking of calling, do it soon. We tend to get calls when the program is done. So muster up your courage, 631-955-5400, or text your question now, 516-367-0391. But let's go back to this matter of preparing prisoners for life outside after they're released or on parole. What's actually done in the prisons to help people? I mean, I would assume that things are done, but maybe I need to be disabused of the idea.
Well, like you were mentioning, or maybe it was myself, Prison Fellowship does do some of that. I would also say Divine Hope Reformed Bible Seminary is that's one of the goals, and that's one of the plans of that. So reducing the recidivism rate by teaching men and women throughout this area the Word of God. Ultimately, we can have programs galore, and we might not have any result if we're not bringing the Word of God and bringing godly counsel. And obviously that's done, seems to me, with a program that can be done, but it also needs to be done on an individual basis, getting to know someone, really pastoring them and helping that person to know their weaknesses, their temptations, how this person got there in the first place, and then to avoid those things which brought them to that place in their life.
Yeah, and just to explain, recidivism rate is a fancy expression for people who go back to a life of crime when they're out of prison, and the goal, of course, is to lessen that, if not eliminate it. What about once a prisoner is released? And I think this bears on the question that was texted to us. So then what? We've been cautioned about going to pick them up to give them a ride when they get out of prison, but there are things to do when they're out. What would that look like, ministry to people when they're out of prison?
That's going to take many different forms. Ultimately, they're going to need some sort of safety net. If that's their family, that's good. It ought to be their church. Hopefully, it can be both. There are places in this area, in the area around Chicago, where they help men and women to make that transition. So it's a place where they're surrounded by Christian believers, and they're immediately given a job, and they're working together, because many of them haven't worked a 40-hour week in quite some time, or if at all. So we've got to ease them into that, helping them see, yeah, this is what we do. We work this many hours. We pay our bills. We have all of these things. Now, there certainly are jobs, and there's work inside of the prison. There's plenty of work to be done, but it's different. It's different than it is on the outside. You need to be somewhat self-motivated on the outside, whereas on the inside of a prison, you have a correctional officer overseeing your every move and making sure that you're doing what you need to do.
So you're saying for local churches, they should be, if they're all wanting to be involved in this, they should also be looking at organizations in their area that are helps to people when they get out of prison, either giving them job skills, computer skills, or whatever. There are organizations like that, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay, and they should look into that. I mean, what offhand, if they were to Google something to find out what these entities are, what would they do?
Well, there is one local to here, and they have a thrift store that they run. And so the inmate who, the former inmate, would then live on the premises with other former inmates and have Bible studies and seek to have Christian community. But then a certain number of hours a week are given to working in the thrift store. And obviously the thrift store and donations, those keep that particular ministry open.
So that would be one of the avenues, and I would imagine, too, there are secular organizations that have job training and that kind of thing, and churches should have a kind of a resource list of what these are, right?
Yes, and, I mean, obviously, we're fortunate to live in the age where so much information is right at our fingertips, but it's good to be proactive rather than reactive. So it's good to know what's near us.
Yeah, I think for pastors, just from a pastor's perspective, as from yours, Pastor Malin, just getting out there in the community and visiting with the local Salvation Army or visiting with local social service organizations and that kind of thing will fill you in on that. So Pastor Malin, would you give us your contact information so that people who have specific questions can contact you?
Absolutely. If my email address, that would be malin.1@opc.org. That's malin.1@opc.org.
That would be for specific questions. Now, you also mentioned this seminary that does work with prisoners. Does it go beyond the bounds of Indiana and Illinois in its work?
My particular one, Divine Hope, does not. It's just Indiana and Illinois. But there are other prison seminaries. Actually, the model one is actually Louisiana State Prison in Angola, Louisiana. And that was often called the Alcatraz of the South. It was a very brutal place. The inmates ran it, in a sense. A couple of decades ago, and Fulton was a Baptist seminary that was near there. Just said, "Hey, we want to come in and teach Bible and teach theology," and that prison has been revolutionized as a result of that, to the point where there are actually ministers who are inmates who are pastoring whole churches of other inmates there in Angola.
Amazing.
And they've really shown great success, and God has really blessed it. So basically, my seminary, Divine Hope, is seeking to follow that model, but obviously we love our Baptist brothers, obviously, but we're Reformed and Presbyterian. We have a few differences, but we're seeking to bring Reformed theology to the inmates and hope that we might see that sort of change.
Oh, that's wonderful. You can get information about all of these things and others, if you will, email Pastor Brett Malin, and that is M-A-H-L-E-N, Malin, M as in Mickey Mouse, although there's no Mickey Mouse about Pastor Malin, malin.1@opc.org. Hey, my thanks to Pastor Brett Malin for being with us today as we consider prison ministry under our Lord's words, "I was in prison and you visited me." We'd appreciate your feedback or your questions. You can email me at visitpastorbill, that's all one word, visitpastorbill@gmail.com, visitpastorbill@gmail.com. Remember, tomorrow is the Lord's Day. Be sure to set apart time to worship the Lord in a church that is faithful to the Word of God. And remember, too, that everyone needs a pastor. Let's pray together. Father, we ask for the Holy Spirit's work in the prisons in our land and in others to take those prison places and make them places of the victories of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in His wonderful name. Amen.
You've been listening to A Visit to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of Reformation Metro New York. Our website is www.reformationmetrony.org. Again, that's www.reformationmetrony.org. For more information on the program, check out our website at www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. Listen in next week at 12 noon for another edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Remember, everyone needs a pastor.